This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us on a fine Monday. Coming up this hour in about 18 minutes from now, are the Chiefs growing into a dangerous team come playoff time? Easy victory over the Raiders yesterday in dominant fashion. Also, your best audio of the day later on in the hour highlights Freddie Kitchens on his dopey T-shirt, Pat Shurmur with his dopey explanations, and Deshaun Watson on defeating his idol last night on Sunday Night Football. So many of you guys want to weigh in on the NFL weekend that was. Also, the college football weekend. Hit us up at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. The Dallas Cowboys get manhandled by the Bills on national TV on Thanksgiving. The Philadelphia Eagles lose gasp to the Miami Dolphins yesterday. And the New York Giants have the worst record in football since week one of last year. Actually, 2017. So since week one of 2017, no team has been worse than the New York Giants. Save for Washington actually going to Carolina and getting a win for just their third victory of the season, the NFC East had the worst weekend ever. Where to begin?
Fourth and goal. Looks like they're bringing Sanders out.
Yeah.
They're going to fake this thing. The Dolphins have players spread all over the field. Five to the left, four to the right. They run it. They throw a touchdown. Unbelievable.
I mean, that's a good football team. Listen, this is the NFL. They compete. They compete hard. We knew that coming down here. I think what's deflating is the part that's disappointing. And we always control what we can control. And, you know, not to do the things that we are capable of doing today. The lack of inconsistency all around is the most disappointing thing.
That was Dolphins radio on the call, and that was Doug Peterson calling the Dolphins a, quote, good football team. All right, let's unpack all of this here. Number one, props to the Dolphins. Props to Brian Flores. That could have been the worst team in NFL history early in the season. That had 0-16 written all over it. They were getting destroyed by everybody. They didn't have to put in Ryan Fitzpatrick. They could have kept Josh Rosen in there and assessed for next year, built up losses, had the number one pick in the draft, gone after a quarterback or maybe Chase Young, and the Dolphins had it set up with all of these draft picks that this was going to be a losing campaign and they could get a ton of talent in this offseason through the draft. And yet, they refused to let it sink. Now, maybe this was Stephen Ross, the owner, didn't want the stench of 0-16. Maybe it sounded good in practice. Then once they finally got out on the field, they didn't have the stomach for 0-16 and getting humiliated by everybody, which they did early in the season. But somehow, some way, the Dolphins have won three games. Three freaking games. And if before the season you did an over-under on 2.5 wins for the Dolphins, who would have taken the over? This is remarkably impressive, and Flores has kept that team in it. And Fitzpatrick, look, He's been great for them. He has given them a chance to win games. And the play call yesterday at the goal line, where the snapper or the holder scrambles left and pitches into the end zone for a touchdown, was a thing of beauty. I don't think I've ever seen that. Props to the Dolphins. But for the Eagles just allowed 37 points to Miami. Oh, and by the way, the Dolphins' throwback uniforms were absolutely gorgeous. The fact that they don't wear those every single week is criminal. The Eagles allowing nearly 40 points to the Dolphins is insanity. Because the Cowboys are trying to give the Eagles the division. Trying. Here you go. Would you like this gift-wrapped Yule log and the NFC East this holiday season? This Eagles team keeps finding ways to sink lower and lower and lower. And yesterday was the bottom of the barrel. Which should be lights out. They're 5-7, game over, season over. Carson Wentz is stunk, lot of injuries, wide receivers dropping footballs. You know what? Rip it up, move on to 2020. Except at 5-7, the Eagles control their own destiny. Because they play four divisional games down the stretch, including one against Dallas. At 5-7, the Eagles probably should get to 9-7, and that would win the division. Because that's how bad the division is. There's no worse division in football. Which has helped pad the Patriots' stats, by the way. Because the Pats have played the Jets twice, will play the Dolphins twice, and got the NFC East this year, which they will go 4-0 versus. The Eagles are 5-7. They've got the Giants twice, they've got Washington once, and the Cowboys. And they get the Cowboys at home on December 22nd. And who expects this Cowboys team to go to Philadelphia and win that game? The Eagles are 5-7 and will probably be hosting a playoff game wildcard weekend. Now, whoever wins the NFC East will likely get waxed because they're going to get a really good wild card team. They could get the Seahawks. They could get the Niners. They could get the Packers or the Vikings. They're going to get a really good team coming into Philadelphia or coming into Dallas. But this division is so sorry. It is so sad. And I can't decide who's the saddest. I mean, on the one hand, I want to go, you know what? This Eagles team is 5-7, just gave up 37 points in Miami with the division open to them. You know what? They're the saddest. Then I look at the Cowboys and their response after getting manhandled offensively by the Patriots the week before and looking totally lackluster in that game. Their response was that dreck on Thanksgiving. And then I look at Washington and what a mess things are in Washington and always have been under Dan Snyder and say, well, that's the saddest. And then I look at the New York Giants and I say, no. The saddest thing in this division is Pat Shurmur on that sideline. As sad as the Eagles are, they still could make the playoffs. As sad as the Cowboys are, they could still make the playoffs. As sad as Washington is, at least they found a way to beat a team like the Panthers yesterday on the road. The Giants show no pulse. None. And this is, on a weekly basis, so bad. It is hard to imagine why Pat Shurmur got the job in the first place. He has no answers. He's making excuses. They're not improving. From the time he took over week one of last year to now, there is no discernible improvement in anything except the quarterback position, which simply was, we have to take Eli out because we drafted a quarterback high. Aside from that, from week one that he took over last year to this week, I can find no discernible improvement in anything that the Giants do. Execution, scheme, gameplay, developing young players, keeping Saquon Barkley a somewhat relevant running back? I can find nothing. Whereas, give me the fine-tooth comb, give me the magnifying glass. What has Pat Shurmur done positively in two seasons?
The players haven't quit.
Okay.
They try. They're not good, but they try, and that's about it. The players, I guess, at a minimum, must at least like the person Pat Shurmur.
Okay, because so you think they actually like him.
Right, because Ben McAdoo did win 11 games one year, and the next year it all fell apart, but the players blatantly quit on
him. They hated him.
They hated him. I think the players actually like Pat Shurmur, the guy. I just think Pat Shurmur, the head coach, isn't very good at anything.
It's alarming. It really is alarming because you would think, okay, by the end of year number two, you're seeing some flashes. Okay, oh, that looks okay. That's starting to come around. I can't find anything there.
Do you know what Pat Shurmur did in a one-score game yesterday? For those of you who, and I don't blame you if you didn't watch this game. They have Sterling Shepard. They have Darius Slayton's had a good year. They have Saquon Barkley. They decided yesterday, they signed a receiver who nobody's ever heard of by the last name of Scott to return punts.
Not Bart.
No, because Golden Tate and Jabril Peppers were out there punt returners. They signed some guy who has some punt returning ability, some undrafted rookie. And they decided on one score game, they're going to bring him into the offense in a playbook he does not know, on a team he does not know, and run some jet sweep that was swallowed for negative 4 yards on a third down. And that was Pat Shurmur's creative moment yesterday. No. Let's not run a play for any of the big weapons we have. Let's run a play for a guy signed off the street not to play offense to return punts who doesn't know the playbook and have the play go absolutely nowhere yesterday on a key third down. And then they lost by 4 scores after that.
It's alarming. Daniel Jones has had a fumble problem. He throws 3 interceptions yesterday. Pat Shurmur's asked about it after the game and says, well, those turnovers weren't fumbles. Those were throws. Do they count differently here, Pat? Does the other team not get the ball back if you throw the interception versus the fumble? What has happened to Saquon Barkley? I mean, he's totally invisible.
He sucks. I think he's hurt.
I think so, too.
I do. He had that high ankle sprain week 3, and I don't think he ever got healthy. But, I mean, awful. Awful. And they had this whole offensive line rebuild. Nate Solder couldn't block Bilotti coming off the edge right now. This is horrendous. It's just, my dad yesterday had the whole family over for like a redo at Thanksgiving. And we got on this one of the smaller TVs, the Ravens and 49ers. And he goes, can you believe, as loyal fans, we're sitting through this dreck on a big screen? Well, we got maybe the game of the year going on this little TV. He goes, why are we doing this?
They've lost your dad.
Losing my dad is tough.
And when you lose Bob the Deli Man, you've lost everybody.
He even said next week, he goes, don't bother coming over Monday night. He goes, I'm going to bed at halftime. He wants no part of the Eagles on Monday night. He's not sacrificing sleep anymore.
This team's going to be on Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football versus the Eagles.
Oh,
the NFC East fixture on Monday night next week. Yeah, I hope you got mossed as awesome pregame because that's about all we got.
Give me the fastest 3 minutes in sports. That's all I want out of that Monday night broadcast.
I don't know. Isn't it like a 15th Star Wars? We got to run the trailer for at halftime.
Oh, it's terrible. That division's absolutely terrible. Who's more miserable? Doug Peterson, Jason Garrett, Pat Shurmur, or whoever's even coaching Washington right now?
I really forgot. Is it Bill Callahan?
It's okay. Callahan, yeah. I mean, it's just March of the Idiots. That division is just the worst. By the way, I heard a Fox Sports promo. Watch Dak Prescott lead the explosive Dallas Cowboys offense. What Cowboys offense are you watching? Explosive? Did you see Foxborough? They couldn't get the football past the 30-yard line. Did you see Thanksgiving? The Bills were dancing on the logo. Explosive. I got news for you. Fox, that is a dump truck driving at 20 miles an hour. That's the offense.
Yeah, big win for primetime in the NFL. If Monday night was a bit of the NFC East, you get Mitchell Trubisky and Jason Garrett matching wits on Thursday night.
Clap off.
Oh, God. Oh. By the way, who wins the division? Is it Eagles or is it the Cowboys?
I think the Cowboys are going to win.
I think it's the Eagles.
I just because the Eagles yesterday officially lost me. They lost me losing to the Dolphins.
I know, but can they lose to the Giants twice?
Well, no, they'll win both games versus the Giants because and that's homecoming.
And then Washington.
They should beat Washington.
Right. Okay, and then they just got the Cowboys at home. It comes down to that game.
I think the Cowboys will find a way to win the game.
You do?
I do. And I think Jason Garrett will end up somehow keeping his job because they made it to Wild Card Weekend.
So the Cowboys at 9-7 win the division.
Yeah, and then probably just get baked by the Seahawks on that Saturday night game.
No doubt. No doubt. What trash. The NFC East is absolute trash. When we come back here on the show, the Chiefs with a blowout victory over the Raiders. Shh. Are the Chiefs suddenly dangerous? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Shotgun this time for Carr. Slant pattern, intercepted at the 40, 35. Coming to the near side, it's Juan Thornhill. 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City. A pick six by the rookie from Virginia.
It definitely started the game off the right way. Kind of got the momentum in our favor. We scored the first time, got that touchdown. And then the second time, we came short on the fourth down. But then beginning the pick six, I mean, it made our job easy as an offense, just trying to move the ball down the field and score points.
Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs get a blowout victory over the Silver and Black. Yesterday, that was Mitch Holthus on Chiefs Radio. Touchdown, Kansas City. Welcome back. Sunday, another NFL on CBS doubleheader. First, Ravens MVP candidate Lamar Jackson takes his show on the road to Buffalo, followed by a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game with the Patriots. Welcome the Chiefs. It all starts with the NFL today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Also, the 12 DAs of Christmas are here, and each one of those will be memorialized on YouTube. So make sure you are familiar with our YouTube page and watch the best of clips there every single day. The Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan, will be posting the 12 DAs there. And I've posted the first poll. I'll do three sets of four candidates to get your feedback on your favorite moments of the 12 DAs of 2019 as we begin our countdown on Friday in full, number 12 on Friday. These next 4 days, we're doing the first four out. Well, I have to say, last week was quite the week for me. You know, I always love Thanksgiving because I really like food. And, you know, seeing family's nice too. And, you know, now colder weather, you just feel like nuzzling up next to the fire or cozying up on the couch. And there's always such good football on. And I could just eat leftovers. I love Thanksgiving dinner, all parts of it. And I think I've now eaten Thanksgiving leftovers for four straight days. Yes, four straight days. And I was just so dazzled by the Iron Bowl, and football on Sunday was tremendous as well. And you know what? It's just a good week. And you give thanks for what you have. And you give thanks for your health and your family and the good things you have. We all have things that we can be thankful for. And Raider fans were silent last week. You know, not too long ago, Raiders podcasts and blogs and super fans had come after me with hatchets and pitchforks because I had dared to discredit the John Gruden hire or Derek Carr as a quarterback or the Antonio Brown saga. And you know, those tweets were dug up, and Raider fans really took it to me.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
And I was so stupid. And they all wanted their pound of flesh. And then a funny thing happened. The Raiders lost to the Jets. And they got waxed. And it was pretty quiet last week. And you know what? This week's going to be really quiet as well. Really quiet. And that's nice. That makes me feel good. I get some peace and quiet around the holidays. A little premature to be crowning the Oakland Raiders a couple of weeks ago because now they're 6-6. And have been thoroughly destroyed the last 2 weeks. And yesterday was a butt kicking. The Chiefs absolutely put it on. And the funny thing was, that was a good day for Patrick Mahomes. That was not an otherworldly day for Patrick Mahomes. And the Chiefs put up 40 points in this game. And I don't think that that was a great day from Mahomes. He threw for only $175, and the Chiefs ran for less than 100 yards. The Chiefs put up 40 points, and they had less than 300 yards of offense, which is great news. It's great news. It's not good news. It's great news. Because the Chiefs' defense has been the bugaboo, has been the Achilles heel, has been the question mark this season. Were they going to need superhuman Patrick Mahomes efforts every single week to get to the playoffs and get to a Super Bowl? And they still will need great Patrick Mahomes. Don't get me wrong. They're not going to win playoff games without great Patrick Mahomes. But if the defense can set up short fields like yesterday, and the Chiefs get a pick six like they did yesterday, and the Chiefs don't need to win games 38-35, and, you know, Dee Ford can line up onside even though he's gone, and they don't have a weak roughing the passer penalty against Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game, and the defense doesn't let the Patriots go up and down the field at will, basically, in the first half, well, then the Chiefs would have been in the Super Bowl last year. The Chiefs defense said when Mahomes went down with the injury early in the season, it forced them to have to do more. They couldn't just wait for Mahomes to bail them out. And now they're starting to play like it. And the Chiefs are extremely dangerous in January because they just got to get in the party. Do you want to face Mahomes? Do you want to face that offense? Do you want to face those weapons? I don't think so. Look, the Ravens have a really good defense. The Patriots supposedly have a really good defense, although we haven't really seen that against a good team. And those are the two power brokers in the AFC. But are the Chiefs that far behind? As long as they have a healthy Mahomes. And Mahomes said yesterday that was as healthy as he's been all season long. And you saw that of the scramble in for the touchdown. As long as Mahomes can move and is not dinged up and is not favoring the ankle, and if that defense can actually hold its own, let alone create points or turnovers or short fields for them, the Chiefs are really dangerous. Really, really dangerous. Now, it's highly unlikely they'll be able to catch either the Patriots or the Ravens for one of the top two seeds. So the Chiefs are likely going to host a playoff game wild card weekend and then have to go to either Baltimore or New England. Can they win one of those two games? Well, look, as I said before, the Patriots need to actually beat somebody good. Their only two victories this season are against teams. Their only two victories against teams with winning records, Steelers week one, Bills without Josh Allen. So the Chiefs get their shot here. And they got to go to New England this upcoming weekend. The Chiefs have their first chance at showing whether they are up for that challenge. But I got to say, for the Chiefs, it sets up well against at least the Patriots. Because you're going to tell me that this Tom Brady offense is going to outscore the Chiefs? I got a hard time believing that. Now, could this Patriots defense in Foxborough end up getting a couple of turnovers, sack Mahomes, bad play calling from Andy Reid, and win a game 19-16? That's in play. But can the Patriots offense put up 30 points? There's no way. No way. No way. So for the Chiefs right now, even a modicum of stout defense could be exactly what they need to be a miserable matchup for anybody in the AFC postseason. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Healthy Mahomes, better defense equals a dangerous Chiefs team. .855-212-4CBS. Dr. Trim tweets out, DA, if the Bills win out, very possible according to you and Mraz, and the Patriots lose to the Chiefs, the Bills would have the number one seed of the playoffs. Well, if the Bills have the number one seed of the playoffs, then we know it's the end of days. By the way, before the season, one of our favorite parlor games, which last place team from last year would win the division this year? Happens almost every year. You go back and look, I don't think it's happening this year. We said the two best candidates were the Lions and the Ravens. Sorry, the Lions and the Jaguars. Both those teams way out of it. The only team that could pull it off would be the Raiders. That's the only team that right now, with a month to go, could go from last place last year to the winning the division this year.
I think the hay's in the barn on that one, D.A.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
Feels like it.
That's sad, though. You want to see a last place team go to first place.
I know. It would be the 1 year. I think it only hasn't happened once in the last 12 years or something. This would be the second time, I think, in 12 years it wouldn't happen.
That's a sad day for the NFL.
It's Nick Foles' fault.
It is Nick Foles' fault.
When we come back here on the show, we've got your best audio of the day. Freddie Kitchens addresses his dopey T-shirt. D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We count down the 12 D.A.'s of Christmas. Here's a moment that got stuck in the chimney.
I'll never let you down.
No, I'll never let you go. Turn around. But by your mother.
What's but by your mother?
I don't know. Turn around.
What a lyric.
Hang with your brother.
Hang with your brother. But by your mother.
Those are pretty sure the lyrics.
It's that time of year we are counting down the greatest moments, the most memorable moments, the craziest moments of 2019. Today was the first of the first four out. I am tweeting out the polls for you guys to vote on the top 12 moments of the year, the 12 DAs of Christmas. So check me out, DA on CBS on Twitter, and we want to get your votes. Mraz will retweet those as well so we can get as many of your votes in there as humanly possible. Before we begin the 12 DAs of Christmas on Friday. Now, our toll-free line, as always, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all, geico.com. Doing more, brought to you by The Home Depot. Visit homedepot.com for details on flooring, appliances, and bathroom home improvements. The Home Depot, more saving, more toing. Ryan Tannehill, the Titans' star quarterback, has moved to 5-1 as the Titans starter. He goes 17-22, 182 yards, no interceptions. Had that beautiful touchdown to ice it for the Titans yesterday. 17 unanswered points to win the game. And now they're tied with the Steelers for the final wild card slot in the AFC at 7-5. And with Marcus Mariota's contract expiring and Ryan Tannehill playing like this, are we seeing the future of the Titans at quarterback, Ryan Tannehill? Now, Mraz is going to take bows because for weeks he has said he likes Ryan Tannehill and for some ungodly reason really enjoys watching the Titans. I don't know what there is to enjoy watching about the Titans, but you're all in.
It's old school football. It's ugly and it's clunky, but it's beautifully ugly and clunky.
Now, I've always said that I thought Tannehill was underrated in Miami. I thought that he was better than serviceable, but that with the Dolphins and all the negativity around there and Adam Gase, and just it felt like the organization... Yeah, the organization's always been kind of shiftless and rudderless, Joe Philbin years. The Tannehill didn't have the best ability to succeed. And honestly, I'm surprised he's playing this well, but he was never a terrible quarterback. I will say, the dime he threw to ice the game yesterday was a beautiful throw, over-the-shoulder catch, lead the receiver to the end zone. Now, he had a ton of time, but... that's as pretty of a deep ball as you're going to see.
Here's my hot take prediction. I wrote this in Up the Gut. Ryan Tannehill with the Titans will become Kerry Collins with the Giants. new face, new location, obviously different problems at the start of their career. One was on the field, one was off the field. But Ryan Tannehill, I think, has the ability to make the Titans a serious contender as this Tom Brady era ends, and it would not stun me in the least in the next 5 years if Ryan Tannehill finds his way into a Super Bowl with the Tennessee Titans.
In the next 5 years, you're predicting LeBron as the Terminator.
Well, that's 10.
And the Titans in the Super Bowl.
Again, I'm not predicting definitively. I'm saying I could totally see this happening. I could see Ryan Tannehill becoming the modern-day Kerry Collins.
Come on. In an AFC with Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, you think Ryan Tannehill and the Titans are slipping into the Super Bowl?
They absolutely could. We're finally going to see some parity in the AFC once Brady finally hangs it up. This Titan team's for real. I don't like the head coach, but their defense plays great. They got great safety play. Derrick Henry is a man of a running back. That's an offensive line that grits it out. And Ryan Tannehill right now is spraying the field with seeds. They need to lock him up long term now.
I don't think you can say he's spraying the field with seeds.
17 unanswered yesterday. That team was incredible in the second half. And by the way, so much for Jacoby Brissett's MVP votes.
Oh, woof. And all of us that were lathering up Frank Reich. I mean, I love Frank Reich. The national media loves Frank Reich. Yeah, the Colts have come back down to earth.
Yeah, the Colt fans who wanted to return their season tickets at the Luck retired are very happy now.
Jeff tweets, how pathetic is the NFC East? The Giants were 2-9 going into yesterday, and they were still mathematically alive to win the division. The Giants were 2-9 and could have won the division by winning out.
Yeah, I got news for you. It was never happening.
Aaron tweets, as a Cowboys fan, I really want the Eagles to win the division to ensure Jerry Jones will fire Jason Garrett. It should be easier than Usain Bolt winning a high school track meet, but they looked awful yesterday. Hashtag get them all out. I don't think there's any way Jerry Jones is going to bring back Jason Garrett unless he wins the division and wins a game or two in the playoffs. And it might even take more than that. But in the NFC this year, let's just say that the Cowboys win the division, host a playoff game, get the Vikings in Dallas, and win that game. Then they go on the road to San Francisco and get pounded. Or go on the road to New Orleans and get beat. I can't see Jerry bringing back Jason Garrett. I think it would take winning the division and winning two playoff games, getting to an NFC championship game. Because if Jerry believes this is a Super Bowl caliber roster, well, the only thing missing from Jason Garrett's resume is a deep playoff run. He's gotten to the divisional round, has not gotten past that. If he does that again, what changes about what you believe Jason Garrett's potential is? If even with this roster, which you believe is his best roster, he still can't get past the divisional round, what is you? What is you at all? I can't see Jerry bringing back Garrett unless they make the NFC title game.
What is you? What is you at all?
And let me tell you, if this Cowboys team finds a way to win two playoff games in this NFC, I don't see that happening. This is a lethargic, grinding to the end of the season type of death march for Garrett. And did you see how he looked on Thanksgiving? I mean, that really is a guy that wonders on Christmas Eve, who did I forget to buy presents for? He just had that look of confusion, peril, terror. Oh, man. Is Walmart still open? That was his look in one of the most important games of the season after losing in Foxborough.
A most machine of death.
I would say so. It's time for your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Send in the clowns. Pat Shurmur, big red nose, floppy shoes, says, oh, I'm not worried about Daniel Jones' three interceptions.
Today they weren't fumbles, right? And then the one he just overthrew. And then the last one there, he threw a nine ball to Slayton, you know, and I thought he was in a position to either make the catch. So, no, I mean, these were throws. These weren't fumbles.
Come on. I mean, they weren't fumbles, guys. So we're getting way better at that.
He sucks. Get him out.
Pat Shurmur is really the worst. He really is the worst. And think about this once proud organization, a family that has owned the New York Giants for 90 years. This is a family that has been around football for 90 years, going back to back hiring Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur. Could you have struck out two worse times? I mean, this is very Browns-esque. If you're hiring back-to-back Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur, first of all, where is McAdoo? It's almost like he was shunned from the league after those 2 years with the Giants.
I don't know where he is.
Where could he be? And number two, they hired a Browns head coach castoff. What are those two decisions?
So it'd be like you hiring me into Shep to produce the shows in back-to-back era.
I'm the beacon of light, and I'm the beacon of hope.
Today, they weren't fumbles, right?
That's such an all-time drop. Hey, they weren't fumbles. We might have had three turnovers and lost the game by 30 points, but they weren't fumbles.
Today, they weren't fumbles, right?
Were they? You answer me that. Okay, Smarty Pants? You think that Daniel Jones turned the football over too much. Well, did you see? Those were through the air. Those weren't even on the ground. I don't know if you noticed that, Smarty Pants. Smarty McGee over there. Did you notice that, huh?
Today they weren't fumbles, right?
Right? Right? Answer me! Come on, answer me!
That's so terrible.
What a clown show. On the same day this happens as the Jets lost to the Bengals! Oh my God, New York football! Here's Deshaun Watson after beating Tom Brady and the Patriots.
I mean, honestly, it's pretty big. Really, just because it's Brady. You know, I was 0-2 against Brady. Who knows when he's going to hang it up. You know, that's my role model, a guy that's been doing it forever. Over 20 years. I'm only alive for 20 years. So it's pretty awesome to finally get one and just to see the love and respect we have for each other. And it was big. So it was awesome.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson saying that who knows when Tom Brady will hang him up. Hopefully after the season. He has been terrible. And I know that this is really an unpopular opinion. Troy Aikman bent over backwards to defend Brady last week against the Cowboys on an awful offensive night. Last night, Chris Collinsworth blamed everybody but number 12. Oh, it's the offensive line. No targets, no time, scheme. Nobody's getting open. Everybody is so scared to say, yeah, well, you know what? Brady's not that great right now. And I'm only saying that. I'm not even saying he's terrible. The last couple of weeks have been terrible. But Brady is skittish. He's overthrowing receivers. He's underthrowing receivers. He nearly threw two pick sixes last night. Nearly two pick sixes. But nobody's allowed to say anything but, boy, the Patriots need more targets. They just got to give more targets. Come on. And finally, Freddie Kitchens, the buffoon of all buffoons, on his Pittsburgh Started It t-shirt.
The t-shirt didn't have anything to do with us at the minus one moving out. I wore a t-shirt. I wore a jacket with it. My daughters wanted me to wear the shirt, and I'd wear it again. I'd put a jacket on. I covered it up. I took a picture with a fan. That was as simple as that. T-shirt didn't cause us to give up 40-yard passes, and we were ready to play. That's the only thing people need to be concerned about. We were ready to play.
Is it not amazing that Freddie Kitchens spent that much time thinking about wearing the t-shirt? My daughter's got me a t-shirt that says Pittsburgh Started It. I'm going to wear the t-shirt, but I'm also going to wear a jacket over the t-shirt to maybe cover up the t-shirt. So are you proud of the t-shirt or not? Well, I wore a jacket, okay? So I took some precautions there. Well, you wore the jacket, you took a photo in the jacket, and it was obvious what t-shirt you were wearing under the jacket. He is adult. And the Browns don't deserve to be a laughingstock like this every single year for 30 years. The head coach is going into a rivalry game that could sink or swim his season in the middle of a miserable year where he's been bad, the team has been bad, and the offense has been bad, and he's wearing, like, bro t-shirts? I mean, it's just so representative of a guy that doesn't have control over the organization or over his team or is just not fit for the job. You know, that's like a Rob Ryan move. And would you ever trust Rob Ryan to coach your NFL team as the head coach? You know, it's like the type of guy that would do that just is lost. He just doesn't understand what it takes to be at that level. And it's a shame because, you know, the Browns fans and that city deserves a winner, and they're getting something akin to the last 30 years, which is just more and more nonsense and soap opera and lack of discipline and bad decisions and losing. And they're going to miss the playoffs again, and their offense has been bad again. And what happened yesterday? They're rolling right along seemingly in the first half, and then suddenly everything flipped to the end of the second quarter. Duck Hodges gets a couple of big plays, and in the second half, the Browns offense, which Freddie Kitchens coordinates, is completely shut down. And he's beaten in a critical win-or-go-home game, essentially, by duck-freaking Hodges. Max Starks is going to join us next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.